let's see where we can take this opportunity where everybody's running for the hills. It's kind of like the tsunami coming in. Let's jump it and surf this. Let's figure out where in this scenario is the gold nugget. Where in this scenario can I thrive? Where in this scenario am I going to better myself, my skill set, my mindset? What, even if business slows down a little bit, I don't slow down. That's an opportunity for growth for me.
Welcome. You are listening to the Hero of the Hour podcast, the show dedicated to empowering you to take financial freedom into your own hands. Through expert interviews with decades of experience, this show will give you not only the tactical strategies of what's working in business, but the appropriate mindsets to master your financial future and build generational wealth. Heroes and entrepreneurs operate with a similar anything is possible mentality, and that is exactly what our show is about. Your host is none other than Mark B. Murphy, CEO of Northeast Private Client Group and best-selling author of 3 books, all dedicated to helping others plan for generational wealth. He and his team are on a mission to share their knowledge and techniques so that others can enjoy a life of financial security and freedom. Get ready to be inspired to create the life of your dreams. Let's go.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Hero of the Hour podcast. I'm here with a friend of mine, Melina Wilson, today. And Melina, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me today.
I think you've got a very interesting story to tell. And I want to just put my glass on so I read it right. I knew you're a certified international property specialist, and I want to understand what that means. But then I know that led you into coaching and led you into, you know, with the Kaizen organization and coaching companies coming around. So, you know, why don't we just start by, tell our viewers and our listeners, tell them the Melina Wilson story.
So I got into real estate. The Certified International Property Specialist designation is through the National Association of Realtors. And I got into real estate in 2005. So I've seen many, many markets, many, many shifts. I've been able to overcome them and not only overcome, but learn at a high level on how to get through them. So that designation was something I had intended at the very get-go when I got into real estate. I started with $40 in my bank account. Life had put me in this situation where that was the route I was going to jump all in. But I thought if I'm going all in, I want to go in following my authentic self and my passions. And I have a passion for travel and worldwide view. And NAR had this Certified International Property Specialist designation. And it affiliates me with realtors around the globe. And I wanted to learn at a higher level. At that time, Bellingham, Washington, where I'm located, is along the Canadian border. So I had some international back and forth. But really, we were a population at that point of about 75,000. We've grown since then, especially since COVID. But we did have some investors going on both sides of the border. But I really didn't see a resource in my own community of realtors with a specialties on how to help a global client. When you learn real estate, you are licensed at the state level. The law of real estate is practiced differently statewide. They don't teach to the federal FERPTA, which is the collection of tax for foreign nationals. They don't teach to that international investor who may need to know more than what you actually were taught in your real estate courses. And so I went out seeking that education. At that time, Washington State didn't even have clock hours options for me through the National Association of Realtors. So I had to go down to California and learn from the best. Carmela Ma was one of those, and she's since retired. So went down there, got that designation, and took my business from $40 into something that was noticed through the real estate community here, but also across the nation and across the globe. And so I started building business on relationship, which I believe any business is built on relationship. And with that, I started being asked for mentorship and coaching from those realtors and people in that industry. And also outside of real estate, also people, immigration attorneys, different people who were tied into that process of investing globally. With that, came the knock on the door with a few coaching companies who asked me to get involved in coaching, and not just on the global level. I had built a really big real estate business that, for a lot of different reasons, it was built on fundamental foundational processes that work and work well. Nothing that I invented. I did not recreate the wheel. I followed models that are described in the Millionaire Real Estate book written by Gary Keller and Jay Papasan, the One Thing book. That book goes across all industries and platforms. And
I just read that again last weekend.
Isn't it awesome? So yeah. I was actually interviewed by Gary Keller on stage in front of 14,000 realtors on the process of how I was utilizing the One Thing. So with that, like I said, that interview had nothing to do with global real estate, but the business model that I was coming up with was also being recognized. And I was under the leadership of Ben Kinney, who's known across the industry and now across many industries because he was real estate, but has gone tech. And now has gone across all brokerages with a platform called Place. And I got to be at the forefront of that as they were building that out. And many times they asked us how we were doing our systems to be able to build it. They far exceeded my knowledge because they have the top realtors across the globe within that platform. And they're all sharing those ideas freely. So that being said, the coaching came into play. With the coaching, of course, more people at one time want the knowledge. So then there's a training aspect to my business. My real estate business now includes a business partner, Kelsey, and she is boots on the ground. So I spend about 4 to 5 hours a week in leadership and inventory of the business and brainstorming with her. I have to have an eye on the target. And so we do that together. But I've stepped out of that on the day-to-day business side and have focused more on coaching. And Kaizen is my coaching company that I aligned with. They allow me to have autonomy with leading to the idea and coaching to the person, not coaching to a system. And then with the training, I go across all brokerages, across different borders. I've taught in South Africa, Dubai, the UK, et cetera. It's my passion. So,
and this is only for real estate professionals?
No. I coach across all business. So I've done e-commerce. I coached an e-commerce business through COVID who lost their warehouse, lost their product, had to learn how to patent something in the US to be able to survive. Not only survive, but thrived. She stepped out of doing the day-to-day task and more into the leadership role and was able to leverage at a high level. And she was able to thrive during COVID. I had a purse company that was e-commerce CPAs who wanted to learn how to target just naturopaths as a client. They wanted to funnel their clients to a specific want. And then, oh my gosh, I had an international builder in Australia, a home builder in Australia. So it's across all businesses.
You know, you said something to me that changed my mindset, because I believe, as you said at the top of the call, everything is mindset. You know, I think with most people, I keep seeing, you know, this big rise we've had in real estate in most areas, and just saying, okay, maybe with interest rates where they are, maybe it's now time to hoard some cash and just wait and wait for prices to come down. And you said something to me, well, why would we do that? There's probably some motivated buyers now. There's people that need to do things. Why don't we try to buy the real estate today at 2025 values or 2026 values today by negotiating a price, and potentially with the improving interest rates, we could then refinance and even make it a better deal. And I think that stuck with me since our conversation about a week ago. And mm-hmm. I just think that just shifted how I was thinking about my own real estate purchases in 2024. You want to comment on that at all?
Well, I would even say right now you can negotiate an interest rate. In a real estate contract, you can ask the buyer to contribute towards your closing costs. Those closing costs can be used with most lenders to buy down a rate. So if you could buy down 1% of your interest rate through the seller, I mean, we're not stuck to interest rates. And this is part of what I love about my job. I come from an educational standpoint. I love to educate my clients on what they have available to them because I don't believe the media is giving them the full picture. The cost of waiting right now is very costly. If you get in right now and there are no buyers that you're competing with because they're all waiting for this interest rate to go down, what you have are numbers that aren't even included on the on the contract per se, or the sales history. If you went back through the last 30 days of sales, what that sales price doesn't show you is that during the inspection, you were able to negotiate repairs. During for the closing costs, the seller was willing to pay towards that and buy down your interest rate as well as your closing costs. So now if you're 1% lower, and it depends on your loan type as to how much that seller can contribute and how much you can utilize, but you can buy down the interest rate. So everybody's waiting for it to drop when really you can go in and negotiate it down right now. Now, the other thing about that is you're not competing against other buyers. So if you have a home to sell in order to buy, right now a seller is considering a contingent offer. So you have the time to sell that house before you buy. You can negotiate the price down. There are so many numbers within a real estate transaction that aren't being discussed that right now is to your advantage. And literally the interest rate is what you and the seller deem in that negotiating with your mortgage broker to buy down the rate. So there's a lot more to it. And once the rates drop, the buyer pool comes in. And now all of a sudden that will demand the price up. The seller doesn't want to contribute to, you know, fixing this, fixing that, because the next buyer will take it just to get the keys to the door. Right. So now all of a sudden your cost is either list price or above because you're competing. You have no negotiating. They're not going to pay your closing costs. And all of that is out-of-pocket expense. I'd rather have that cash in my pocket to be able to invest it in other things.
I think this goes without saying. It's obvious, but point out some of the nuances to us of, you know, being a certified international property specialist. How does that give you an edge over somebody that's not?
Well, I remember hearing Gary Keller talk about answering the phone when he was in Texas, and I don't even know if he had but one location at that point, but he started with answering it in a way that it led to the perception that he was big and global. So Keller Williams International, Keller Williams Global, right? When I got in 2005, I started by creating my logo as International Real Estate Investments Incorporated. I started telling people that I was a global agent. And the reality is I will never know every global aspect to every contract around the world. But what I did is I teamed up with the experts who did know. So I have tax specialists, I have immigration attorneys, I have agents all over the world that I partner with who have the expertise, even though I didn't have it. But the perception to the client was that I was a global realtor. And I was, with a team of experts behind me. So when in 2005, the markets, it was thriving, right? It was the bustle of everybody. The phone rang and you were writing a contract. For me, I just got into the business. So I was picking up the phone, but I was telling them I was global. When the market shifted, the phone started ringing for me and nobody else because they were saying, Melina, my local realtor can't get my property sold. What can you do for me? And the reality is I could. I took some really high-end, one of my favorite stories that I took a horse property. I know nothing about equestrian. I baby talk horses.
Okay.
I took this equestrian property. I brought in a realtor who knew equestrian. I took an upfront fee from these folks and it was reimbursed at the time of sale. I lead with revenue always because my marketing plan was going to go beyond the normal scope. And we sold that property to a cash buyer out of Costa Rica as a web lead. At the time, web leads were a little less familiar to the realtor population. And it launched me into land development. This is the other thing about going global is your niche can't be a zip code or a neighborhood, et cetera. Your niche is going to become the world. But when you go worldwide, the cream of the crop show up. That you get in relationship with the people who are rock stars. And through their relationships, you get to the person who can help your client at the highest level and you team up with them. It's all about relationship.
I want to shift a little bit. We talked about Ben. We talked about Kaizen a little bit. I've always had a coach. And I always believe that everybody should have a coach. And what are your beliefs around that? And I'd love you to elaborate on what Kaizen and what you bring to the table for those clients.
Well, I have a coach and I believe the same. And the reason is because I'm entrepreneurial. Any great idea that I have, any idea I have is great because I'm thinking it, right? If I'm thinking it, it has to be brilliant. And as entrepreneurs, we come up with all these great ideas. The reality is small businesses don't make it at a high level. And what I believe is a lot of times is they just don't have the accountability or the ability to grow at their own growth rate. So if you are the person who came up with this brilliant idea, and if this brilliant idea takes off and your growth goes, you may have the mindset for the brilliant idea, but you haven't learned the business practices. You don't have the accountability to do what it takes to stay in the grit. A coach aligns with you to find out where you need that accountability, where you don't have leadership loneliness, where you may have to learn something new or take on leverage at a higher level. So that means hiring. How do you hire talent? There are so many pieces to a business that as entrepreneurs, we get so into the groove of what we know in creation, we forget to learn the tools on how to grow into a business. So coaching for me is, I can't do it. I can't do my business without having some accountability to my coach. And sometimes that comes in the simplest form of, Melina, I want you to call five people and ask this question. Just that accountability of telling somebody else that I'll do that. Or it could be, I want to see your P&L and let's go over these numbers and let's really tighten up right now. And I have somebody who's aligned with me in my business. This is why I like Kaizen coaching, because I'm allowed the ability to coach to the person and the needs. And I'll tell you, I love the times I'm addicted to the ahas. I had an assistant once who made me that shirt and I wear it all the time. I'm addicted to the ahas. When the eyes open up wide and they're like, oh my gosh, I get it. And that could be over time management. So many times as entrepreneurs and business owners, we get so into the rote habit of putting fires out that we're never putting aside time to work on our business growth or our own personal development or understanding the industry and the changes that are ahead of us so that we can shift where we need to slightly instead of trying to regroup everything and fix it all. And that comes with the help of a coach.
That's amazing. You know, I find in most businesses, and particularly in coaching, that 80% is finding the clients and 20% is coaching them. You know, in terms of business, that there's a lot of people that, you may be very, very good coaches, but nobody's going to find them because they have no clients going forward. So how do you find your clients and how do you help your clients, obviously who are not coaches, but in their business, how do you help them to grow their business?
Find them and how to grow. So finding them for me has been a natural consequence of the business that I built, aligning with leadership like Kaizen coaching. Ben was one of those who encouraged me to get into coaching. He really was, at that point, I wasn't sure if I wanted to, and he encouraged me to do that. So surrounding myself with the right people, the coaching naturally comes. I will tell you though, the more, and this is what I coached you too, the more you build a life by design, the more you take the right opportunities, the more opportunities come your way. And this is another thing that I coach to, learning how to say hell yes to the right thing and hell no to the other so you can stay in true alignment. Sounds easy, but it's harder when you have so many great opportunities. These aren't opportunities that you don't want to take. These are opportunities that it's not the right time to take them. It's being very specific to the right opportunities. So for me specifically, I don't take more than 14 coaching clients at a time. And I have a schedule for my training that's very specific to the needs of those I'm going to train to in the market, because I want a life by design where I'm not on a plane all the time. So I'm very specific to what I take into my world to have the highest impact out to that relationship. So for me, coaching has been who I'm aligning with and who I'm attracting in.
And you said something that reminded me of an expression, if everything is important, nothing's important.
It gets so watered down and my passion evaporates with it.
Have you noticed that life is getting more and more expensive? From grocery prices to real estate values, everywhere you turn, prices seem to be skyrocketing. Well, Mark has dedicated decades of his career and life to serving entrepreneurs and professionals to build real wealth, and in most cases, multi-generational wealth. The reality is, we all have to navigate turbulent times in this economy, but the difference will be for those that have a roadmap and a customized plan for building wealth. That's why, as a listener to this podcast, we are so excited to share with you first access to Mark's newest book, The Ultimate Investment, a roadmap to grow your business and build multi-generational wealth. When you access this book, you'll discover how to know when you're working a job instead of a business. That hard work isn't all about hours put in. This will make you more productive. Why you need to live with your back against a wall. How to surround yourself with the right people who support your vision. And so much more. Go to www.markbmurphy.com/book to get access now. Once again, go to www.markbmurphy.com/book. And now, back to the show.
Right. I want to be passionate. I want that aha. I want to see that I've made an impact. If I'm not impacting your world, don't hire me. I want to be able to give you what it is that you might need and still staying aligned to what my needs are. And so I'm very purposeful in that.
Well, then maybe it begs the other question. Obviously, you say what to say hell yes to, or, you know, just as importantly or more importantly, what to say no to. Mm-hmm. So if everything is important, it's nothing important. The question begs to ask, what's always important?
Well, this is in coaching, this is where we start. What is your true alignment? What are your core beliefs? Why did you get into this business? Why are you doing it? Money's good, but money's good for what it can do within your world and your dreams. Some people, if you're, is it Michael Phelps? If you're the gold winner swimmer, he was born with this want to swim. But the majority of the population doesn't necessarily know what they want, but they find themselves in a space where when they're willing to talk to a coach and invite you into every area of their life to move past this point, they may not know anymore what that alignment is or what the true passion is. Are they just, you know, making a living to make a living to provide for their family? I want to go to where's your authentic self and then build a business plan around that. And with it is staying on track. So Keller Williams has a model of the GPS that's in the one thing. So it's one goal, three priorities, five strategies to support it. We add the who and by when, and some of that accountability. So once again, if you're heading for the moon on a rocket and you're seeing the moon out the window and you're like, okay, we're on course. But really, unless you're paying attention, you could be off by a half inch and end up in some other galaxy. So you have to readjust the thrust, right? You have to stay on course. A lot of people do this once a year inventory of where are my goals? What do I want to accomplish? How did I do last year? Let's go big. And they never map themselves out and they never reassess or inventory. A business that doesn't do inventory doesn't stay in business. And that can be money, time, energy, mindset. But you have to go in and say, am I truly aligned? What do I need to reshift? How do I get back to my passion? Because most days you may get out of bed and you may still be passionate about being entrepreneurial, but other days it's a market shift. It's an interest rate. It's a, how do I overcome a COVID that took away my product? What gets you out of bed then? When you are aligned with your authentic self, when you have seen where your business is and you know where you stand now, then you have a better clarity to stay the course and to get out of bed when it takes the grit that you need, because you know your why.
That is profound. I don't know if it's something you want to comment on or not. I think I'm sort of trying to evaluate it myself, not only how it affects real estate, but how it affects every business. You've seen, do you see the real estate business model changing, you know, particularly in light of some of these crazy lawsuits all over the country?
Oh, yeah, everywhere. We have it in our brokerage. We were a few steps ahead of it in Washington. We had some changes before it came across. But there's always been changes. Can I tell you a quick story?
Please.
Remember that? Okay. I share this with permission from my business partner, but I had to step back into my business last year because in December, my business partner had the diagnosis of breast cancer. And our partnership is one that we support 100% each other in our whole lives, not just our business. So I needed to step back in. So I got into the office on January 2nd. And that is when the sky was falling in real estate. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, this is going to be the worst year right? I don't listen to that. What I have is an internal mindset that says, what do I need to do today to make today successful towards that plan that I have with these numbers, this revenue, et cetera, right? So I go into the office and she needs to go home and she needs to start chemo and she needs to fight for her life. I will go in and fight for our business. 2 weeks later, our executive admin had to give notice because of some medical issues. So all of a sudden I lost my admin. I switched her from being my partner to creating videos to teach me how to do some of the things I hadn't done in a really long time. So I had a video library and I wouldn't lose the knowledge we had over all these years. 3 weeks later, my virtual assistant, her husband had an inoperable brain tumor. She had. Then I lost my dog in February. And then I lost my adopted dad. You get up and you get out of bed and you don't pay attention to what the outside world is. The real estate will change. It will make changes. It will say, okay, commissions, no commissions, interest rate, no interest rate. The question is, what am I going to do? What's the one thing I can do today that is going to make me feel successful in moving my business forward? What is the one thing that I can do today to serve my clients at the highest level? What is the one thing I can do to make a high impact in my community? What is the one thing that I can do for my family? What is the one thing that I can do for me that's going to make me feel like a whole person no matter what the world has going on? So the questions change. And I'll tell you, in 7.5 weeks, I can't remember. I was going to look the number up for you, but I think I pended like $10 million in real estate. It was insane. You do what you have to do. And I think that when Gary Keller interviewed me, I was doing the practice of lead gen for 2 hours a day in my bunker, no interruption. We had a squirt bottle. Nobody could come in. Ben, Jalene, anybody else, nobody's allowed. In 56 days, I think it was, I pended 19 transactions. Because I stayed true to just doing the things that count the most. For me and my business, it's reaching out and talking to people. We call it lead generation. For me, it's staying in relationship with the key people, my VIPs, my raving fans, people I don't know yet that I want to nurture into my world. But that one decision to stay true to that 2 hours, it took a lot of effort. It took breaking old habits, but the results were there. Sending Kelsey home and I want to report she is cancer-free and she is passionate about real estate. And she called me right before this podcast for planning our next client event. So I surround myself with heroes. And with that, it allows me to shine. We're not an island unto ourselves. I have Ben who's got mastery on all these platforms. Real estate changes all the time. He is changing before it even catches up. I surround myself with business partners like Kelsey who have grit to fight the fight and are passionate. We have reviews from our clients. They're so in love with her. They don't need to be in love with me. They need to be in love with her. I have coaching clients that are willing to step outside of the box to try something new and to stay true once they know that that's where their results lie. For me, it's about surrounding myself with all the right people.
You know, I a couple expressions I always have is I will talk with people. And especially with like an election going on this year, a presidential election, I'll talk to somebody in the morning and they'll say, if Joe Biden gets elected, it's all over. Or in the afternoon, I'll speak to somebody else that says, if Donald Trump gets elected or anybody else for that matter, it's all over. And, you know, I depending on their age, I remind them that they made money during Reagan and Bush and then during Clinton and then during the second Bush and then Obama and, you know, Trump and now Biden. And it's, you know, that ultimately, it's amazing to me how people can use the media or social media or conversation with friends to go from an abundance mindset to a scarcity mindset. And I always try to say that people, you know, you always got to try to win with the cards you have, not the cards you wish you had. You know, if interest rates were only lower, if the stock market was higher, if the economy was better. I mean, there's at the end of the day, I'm not saying we shouldn't spend our time acquiring the right cards. But today, we've got to win today. What I'm hearing from you is we've got to win today with the cards we have. And if we're willing to be focused, disciplined, and fall in love with the mundane, you can win every time.
Well, let me ask you this. How much time and energy are you going to put into what will occur in November?
Right.
My question is, what are you going to do today for your business? Right. And if what you think is your truth does happen, anytime there's a shift, there's an opportunity, right? So if people, when we had our interest rate change of 1%, I went into the office and I was on fire and they thought I was on drugs. 1% in 24 hours. It's never happened before. I'm like, you guys, this is prime opportunity. We have a percentage of clients out there whose realtor went home with a pint of Haagen-Dazs and is hiding under the covers. Let's go serve them. We have an opportunity to show people how when these buyers go away, their negotiation, you can negotiate 1% in an interest rate. Let's see where we can take this opportunity where everybody's running for the hills. It's kind of like the tsunami coming in. Let's jump it and surf this. Let's figure out where in this scenario is the gold nugget. Where in this scenario can I thrive? Where in this scenario am I going to better myself, my skill set, my mindset? Even if business slows down a little bit, I don't slow down. That's an opportunity for growth for me. Where do I need to build my foundation at a higher level, whether that's within my own education, my business plan, my own personal wealth, right? The year before Kelsey went out, I spent a whole year studying money, I like being the person in the room who knows the least, right? I like learning. Yeah. So, I mean, it's all in the opportunity. And if I'm going to sit here today and worry about November, now, mind you, I don't need my head in the sand. I need to be aware of what's happening and in tune, but I want to get that awareness from sources that are true, not emotionally based. And I want to get it from a source that's going to show me solutions so that I can build out something even better than what I'm experiencing now. If I think it's going to slide backwards or it's going to be worse, it will be. What we focus on, it expands, right? So I'm going to say, okay, this is an opportunity. Let's go. And I think part of that is because my life has been opportunities for growth. Like I said, I got into real estate with $40 in my bank account. I had no other option than to work. And that's been one of many times. And if you look at the wealthy of the wealthiest, they haven't always been wealthy. They've lost money. They've gained money. They've had ups, they've had downs. It's how they've responded to life that is their success. So my question would be, what are you doing between now and November? That's November. What are you doing?
It's even at November, it's amazing how much time people spend, you know, focusing on things that won't matter in 5 years, probably in 5 days, much less 5 years. So it's an issue. I have a question for you as a professional coach, and you can answer it either in the positive or the negative. But when you meet with somebody, what are the characteristics of somebody that's coachable and that's going to get the results? Or what are the red flags for you or that should be for them of somebody who's not coachable and is wasting their time because, you know, everything that you're going to tell them is going to be wrong. They know better, but they're not getting the results. So how do you analyze somebody? And, you know, so if somebody's thinking about going into a coaching program, what is the mindset they either have to have or don't have to have?
Red flag would be, yeah, but I've done it this way for this long. Yeah, but this is why. Yeah, but. But even with that, the key to coaching for me is to ask the question that brings the awareness from inside of the person being coached. And I do some consulting per se, if it's somebody in real estate wants to know some of the practices that I've done. But really, the place with the highest growth is an inner awareness. So if you can go through and allow them to see that they're the obstacle in the way by not being open-minded to change, then we can move forward. If not, they will both see that it's not going to work for them. If they can't have accountability and they're literally investing in themselves with me to have that accountability, then we're going to see quickly they're not willing to change their ways. And once again, this is why I only take 14 coaching clients. I want to be able to work with people where selfishly I can see their growth.
What does that engagement look like for you? You know, when you take on, you know, like as an example, when I have a meeting with a client, they'll oftentimes that come to Jesus meeting might go a couple of hours or more. And I have some people that I know sort of that are in the financial advisory field where their typical meeting with a client is 15 minutes, you know. So what does an engagement from start to finish look like for most of your clients?
So we'll do a discovery call. I'll usually schedule an hour for that. Sometimes it doesn't take that much time at all, but I'll always have that space reserved so we can go as deep as we need to within that hour. And like we said for this podcast, I mean, the attention span, that's enough, right? To definitely deep dive. And if we need more than that, we will, but usually within half an hour or so, we're targeting some of the pain points, some of their wants from coaching, and then aligning to see if that's something that I feel I can provide or not provide. So the discovery call is key. If they decide to go forward, I usually suggest, I have two options, but I usually suggest for the first 3 months that we meet for 30 minutes, four times a month. So if there's 5 weeks, we'll just do the four times a month, but we're going to do 30 minutes per month for the next 3 months. So we can really dive in and see what needs to shift, what doesn't need to shift. A lot of times we want to, the hardest thing is not to create a new habit, but to break an old habit, right? So we really want to dive in and see what the old habits are that are getting in the way, but really what needs to become a new habit. So that could be time management, that could be leverage through hiring talent, that could be leadership skills, it could be many different things, financial review. But the other option is once we get going, we can go to a 2 call a month, which is 45 minutes per call. And then we stay aligned with where they need to be. And I'll tell you, I mean, I had one gal, she had one closed deal in a year. And by the end of that year, she had 57. She is a coachable client, right? I had one gal, she's a broker owner and she's my master of sticky notes and Excel spreadsheets. And she took what she learned and she just took it to the end, and she'll probably become a coach herself. She's phenomenal. And then I've had people that we've done it for a specific skill set, and then we come around for another skill set, right? My e-commerce gentleman, he has a purse company. And he needed to learn how to lead. And then we needed to do a hiring process. So he comes back around when he has points of need and we coach. So it can be a long-term coaching timeline, or it can be specific to a need that you want to cover. But it's going to be either 4 calls per month at 30 minutes a call, and or 2 calls per month at 45 minutes a call.
It's not a huge time commitment with great results on the back end. I want to give you the last word, but first I want to just thank you for taking time out of your day to spend some time with me. I know 2024 is going to be your best year because there's no other choice, but you have the last word.
Well, I want to thank you for aligning with me. Like I said, I love aligning with people that are phenomenal. And when I heard your presentation at Amber's workshop, and once again, I was the one who knew the least in her workshop, I loved it. And when I got to hear what you had to say, just totally aligned in value, core values and practices. So it's been an honor and a privilege. And thank you for that.
Well, like a fox. I think when you say you know the person who says they know the least usually knows the most. But I appreciate the humility as well as the confidence. Have a wonderful day. Thanks so much, Melinda.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I hope you enjoyed the episode today on the Hero of the Hour podcast. Make sure to hit subscribe on whichever platform you are listening to this on. If this episode made you think of someone, go ahead, take a screenshot and share the podcast episode with them. You can catch the show notes for this episode and more at www.markbmurphy.com/podcast. Be sure to check out the other great books and resources on the website while you're there. Once again, it's www.markbmurphy.com/podcast. All links can be found in the description below. We look forward to serving you on the next episode. This podcast is for informational purposes only. Guest speakers and their firms are not affiliated with or endorsed by PAS or Guardian, and opinions stated are their own. Registered representative and financial advisor of Park Avenue Securities, LLC, PAS. OSJ, 200 Broad Hollow Road, Suite 405, Melville, New York, 11747. 631-589-5400. Securities products and advisory services offered through PAS, member FINRA, SIPC. Financial representative of the Guardian Life Insurance Company of America, Guardian, New York, New York. PAS is a wholly owned subsidiary of Guardian. Northeast Private Client Group is not an affiliate or subsidiary of PAS or Guardian. California Insurance License Number 0B36048. Arkansas Insurance License Number 741545. Expiration and submission numbers located in the show notes.